Hey everybody, welcome to the Vet Tech Cafe. The Vet Tech Cafe is a podcast centered around veterinary technicians and nurses, hosted by myself, Dave Cowan, and my good friend Jeff Backus. We strive to discuss current issues facing our profession and give our colleagues a voice and a medium to enter into these discussions. Our guests are experts in the field that we hope can help our listeners work towards dealing with these issues, as well as coming up with solutions that can lead to change. If you have a question or comment for us, please contact us at vettechcafe@gmail.com. Without further ado, grab yourself a cup of coffee and get ready for another episode of the Vet Tech Cafe. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming by the Vet Tech Cafe again today. We hope everybody's having a great week and got some exciting plans for the weekend. Dave, how you doing down there? You got a cup of coffee?
Got my cup of coffee and my brandy new Vet Tech Cafe mug that we ordered.
Yes.
Got my black silk going on. So loving life right now. How are you doing?
Doing good. The power came back on this afternoon, which is really nice.
I know
maybe some Midwesterners or people from the South maybe lost some power today too. We sure did up here. And thankfully came back on because we have a really great episode for today. Yeah. But I'm drinking, it's hazelnut cream. Coffee out of my new Vet Tech Cafe mug that you sent me. Thank you very much. We'll have to get a few of these and send them to our guests that have been on and will be on in the future. So
future guests. Yeah, they did a really nice job with it.
Yeah, yeah. So if you see us maybe down the road at conferences, hopefully we'll have these kinds of things and some other swag and stuff.
Yeah, we need to start having some swag for people.
Yeah, agreed. So, you know, we always kind of start out with a cool article or something, you know, that we came across. And I came across this article that was posted by our friends, the Vet Tech Life page. And this article is called Motivate Veterinary Staff with These 5 Steps. And I sent it to you. What'd you think?
I read through it today. It was really interesting. And I mean, it's a lot of stuff that we already know as technicians, it's nice to have these things laid out. And important to note that this article was written specifically for practice managers.
Right.
So it's how to motivate your staff as practice managers. But, you know, as I was reading through this, I'm like, this is all stuff that we should be doing ourselves. It's not something that we should have to have somebody telling us that we need to do. I mean, some of it is related to management, but a lot of it is stuff that we can do on our own.
It is. And I think, though, that it's important for managers to understand as well that while we should have this self-start type of mentality, for the management side to be able then to recognize that, and that's what I think a lot of this is. Recognizing achievements and, you know, challenge your team to set and achieve goals, those kinds of things. So, you know, on their side to lay out a clear path, and then when somebody achieves those things or follows through or comes through for the team, to then recognize that, or if not, figure out a way to support it to make sure it goes. So anyway, it was 5 things, and the first one was recognize achievements, which I kind of said, but you know, recognizing your team for a job well done. Number 2, challenge your team to set and achieve goals, and I think this is a big one. I know for me,
that's a huge one.
I always work best under a deadline. You know, somebody can give me an idea, and I can say, I love that. I absolutely want to take on this project. But if I don't have, okay, this needs to be done by April 15th, I frankly will never start it.
Yeah.
No matter how interested I am in it. Yeah. So setting, you know, those goals and whatever that might be, supporting and encouraging professional growth, trusting your staff and delegating responsibilities is a big one.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of micromanaging, unfortunately, that goes on, and sometimes it's necessary and sometimes it's just a little too much.
Right. You have to look at that in terms of who you're talking about with staff. Not everyone falls under the same umbrella. Some people need more management.
Yeah. And Amanda talked about this on the last episode, that she doesn't really fit into a box.
Right.
And she's always been so grateful that, you know, she's been able to just kind of be who she is and do what she does and thrive in that. And sometimes that's what it takes. And then the last one, which I think is a big one and something we've talked a lot about, and we certainly will in the future as well, is encouraging a work-life balance and what that really looks like. And
it's so hard it's such a difficult task to do, and we all know we need to do it. And it's really hard to actually stop and say, okay, I'm not going to work this shift that I shouldn't be working.
Or
I saw something on Facebook today that I thought was really appropriate. The question was, what's something that is not illegal yet seems it is? And then the first answer was calling in sick to work.
Yeah.
It's not illegal, but it feels illegal.
Yeah.
And that's all work-life balance is being able to say that, yeah, this is my job. This is my career. However, I'm more important than that.
Right. Right.
Something that I like to think about, I won't say I like to think about it, but something I've always thought was a really appropriate thing is that don't kill yourself at work, because your job is going to be listed in the newspapers the day after you die, and
right.
your obituary yep. is going to be a couple days later. So
I say that all the time.
It really hits home that work-life balance is really important, because if you're not, and we'll talk about this in future episodes, but if you're not in a right frame of mind, you're not going to be a good worker. You're not going right. to be efficient at work.
Right. And you know, outside of work, whatever your responsibilities are, whether that's as boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife,
parents,
father, mother,
yeah.
You know, those kinds of things, then the energy that you've spent working too much, so much, whatever it might be, you then have less, you know, for those other responsibilities.
Right, right.
And in this category here, this encourage work-life balance, it's kind of like 5A and 5B. And I think 5B, the enforce regular breaks,
yeah,
is a huge one. I mean, I don't know if there's an industry, and I'm sure that there is, I shouldn't say that, but I'm sure there are other industries where not taking lunch breaks or not taking breaks, period, is as rampant of a problem as it
yeah.
is in veterinary medicine. And the reality is in some ways that just comes down to scheduling the hospital, scheduling
right.
and structuring the
yep.
day differently. Instead of morning appointments and then surgery and then afternoon appointments and closing, actually scheduling in, you know,
yeah.
30 minutes to close or you know, whatever it might be. But that sometimes has to come from the top,
right? Right.
So that's I think,
and I know you and I as emergency technicians, we're a lot of times there's days where we don't get breaks, we don't get lunches
because
we're too busy. But that's more of a staffing issue, that you have to schedule staff so that people can get off the floor.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, I'm at the point now. I mean, I don't care what kind of dumpster fire the ICU is. I take my 30-minute lunch. I won't do it anymore.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not. And, you know, and again, I that would be the preference of my hospital, but too many people, especially those that are still fairly new, you know, we're an empathetic group. And, you know, the thought of leaving patients and the thought of, you know, all that is just, it's
well, the thought of leaving your team.
Yeah, exactly.
Behind a person is really hard to do.
Right. But I promise everybody listening out there, the work will still be there when you get back from your break.
It definitely
You won't
will.
Be missing anything.
Right.
Take your lunch.
Yep.
So anyway, I think with that, what do you think? Should we bring out our guest?
Yes, we should.
So stopping by the Vet Tech Cafe today, really, really excited. We have Kelsey Beth Carpenter coming by the show. So Kelsey is a registered veterinary technician, social media manager, and dare I say, social media icon, singer, songwriter, and content creator. I'm sure you guys have seen her on Instagram, on Facebook. But what I want you to also know is she has an art degree from UCLA and over a decade of experience in the field of veterinary medicine. She currently works in the ER and ICU at a large practice in the San Francisco Bay Area. She's also the social media manager for DrAndyRourke.com. A lot of great content from that site. Dr. Rourke is a huge advocate of veterinary technicians, publishes a lot of really great articles, a lot of op-eds from people in our field. So if you're not familiar with that site, I highly recommend going and checking that out. And also the Uncharted Veterinary Conferences, and manages her own brand, Vet Tech Kelsey, with a whole bunch of really cool series on Instagram. We'll probably talk about those later, the fecal files and the yellow pages and things overheard at an animal hospital. I love all those posts. But maybe what you might most recognize her for is writing classic songs such as Your Dog Ate Weed and What's on My Scrubs. So Kelsey, thank you so much for coming by the Vet Tech Cafe today. Welcome.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited we're finally doing this.
I know. We've been trying to hook up for a few weeks now, and I'm so stoked we finally got you to come by. Let's get you a cup of coffee. How would you like it?
I'm a child at heart, so I hate the taste of coffee.
Okay,
so I like my coffee with enough like syrups and sugars and things that I can't taste the coffee. I want my coffee disguised as sugar, basically.
Nice. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
You like your sugar with a splash of coffee?
Exactly.
Nice. Hey, we all have to get our caffeine somehow.
Yes.
Exactly.
Especially to get through our days.
Yeah.
So as we kind of start out here, talk a little bit about your career path, because it sounds like maybe from your degree, in school. Maybe you didn't start out in veterinary medicine, but
maybe I didn't have the most linear path.
Yeah, but kind of talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely did not have a linear path. I was not one of those people who knew I wanted to work with animals from the moment I was born. I mean, I loved animals from the moment I was born, but I didn't really ever think about that. So I actually was very into the arts growing up, music, singing, a little bit of acting here and there, but dancing was the big one. So I ended up going to UCLA and majoring in world arts and cultures with a concentration in dance.
Nice.
It's a bachelor's of arts from UCLA. But while I was there and studying that, I noticed I was really missing the math and the science. Those were things I was typically pretty strong in high school and middle school and stuff, and I was missing it. Plus, I grew up with my mother in human medicine and seeing kind of the impact that she made and how hard she worked and what a difference she was making in the world. And I think that all sort of somehow combined to me then being like, I want to work at an animal hospital. I want to see what it's like. So I remember one day taking a stack of resumes, which were pretty lame at that moment in time, and going down this one street right outside of LA or right outside of UCLA that had probably 6 animal hospitals on this one street. It was ridiculous. And wow. I just passed out my resume to every single one and I said, please take me. I will volunteer. You can take me for free. I just want my foot in the door. And finally one hospital said yes.
Did they pay you or did they take you up on free
offer? So I started out as a volunteer. I was free, but a few weeks into it, I had worked my butt off. They saw that. They were like, we want you for more hours. I was like, well, I've got to get paid because I was at the same time going to school full time and working a part time job too. Oof. So then they hired me on and I was able to quit my other part time job and focus more on the animal hospital. And it was like from day one, I was like, this is fantastic. It was, there's that moment where you're like, this is it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we've all had that. And so, yeah, I just became addicted. I jumped headfirst in, and I guess the rest is history. But yeah.
And so now you're at Adobe Animal Hospital up in the Bay Area, is that right?
Yes. Cool. And I love it. So I was down in LA for a while. Once I graduated school, I hung out there for a couple years and then I moved back to the Bay. I was like, I miss my family. I miss the Bay Area. So when I came back up here, I applied to several hospitals and got a couple job offers, but I was waiting specifically on Adobe because we actually took our pets there when I was growing up. We've taken our pets there since I was 6 years old. The same doctor who still owns it, Dr. Brian Maxwell, did knee surgeries, did TPLOs on my dog's knees when I was in middle school. So it's a it's a pretty come full circle kind of situation. But they were so wonderful to us when we were on the client side that I was like, I know that's the hospital I want to be at, you know? So I've been there ever since. I think it's been about 7 years now. And it's wonderful. I absolutely love the people I work with, the doctors, the technicians, the CSR, everyone. It's pretty, someone the other day referred to it as, you must work at a unicorn clinic, and I think I do.
those are very hard to find.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
My clinic up in New Hampshire was a unicorn clinic as well, where everyone got along.
Yeah.
Everything was great. They never had any arguments. Everything was great. And it's great to get into a job that you have that great family feel to it. I've worked in practices where they say, oh, we want this to be a family, but it's so not a family. But to actually have that and feel that is fantastic.
The emergency clinic I worked at in Orange County before I moved to New England was the same way. I worked there for I think 12 or 13 years before I left, and it was the same thing. There was a group of us that were had been there 10, 12, whatever years plus, and we kind of all grew up together, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. This is definitely the longest job I've been at. And part of that being because prior I was in school and bouncing around and stuff, but also because I just love it. And I'm not in some rural area. There are animal hospitals every few blocks out here. I have plenty of options, but I love working at Adobe, and it's got some really unique offerings too. And I'm happy there. I can't leave that clinic. I'm almost I feel a little trapped. I'm stuck in the Bay Area now because I can't leave Adobe.
Well, and change is always hard. When you work at a place like that, you wonder if I go somewhere else, is it going to be so much worse?
Right.
Yeah.
Like regretting your decision.
Testify.
Yeah. Exactly. I know Liz Houston used to work there, and she described Adobe as, it's like a general practice on steroids.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's a pretty good description. Yeah. But you know what? That's another benefit I found of working at Adobe is I've gotten to meet some wonderful people.
Yeah.
And I would say Liz Houston is at the top of that list by far. I mean, I feel so lucky to know her. I originally met her through Adobe, but then we've had a relationship ever since, and she's just become a really good friend, and I'm really thankful for that. And there's multiple people I feel like I've had the benefit of meeting through Adobe that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
So, Kelsey, now you're writing songs, and you've got your Facebook page, you've got your Instagram page. What inspired you to do all that? And I'm coming at you from Jeff and I having this inspiration to say, hey, let's make a podcast. So what was your inspiration to decide to write songs and be like a social media icon like you are?
Oh, my God. I'm going to replay that clip anytime I'm feeling insecure.
If you want, I can record that separately and you could just... Yeah.
Perfect. Just as a little motivational boost for myself every morning. It was... I was just telling this to my sister the other day, who's going through sort of a career change. And I was like, I didn't look for any of this. It sort of happened in this weird, natural, unnatural way. So basically, it was sort of a reverse of what happened in college. In college, I was studying the arts and I was missing the sciences. Now I'm working in the sciences and I was missing the arts. There was 1 year for Vet Tech Week when I was a lead technician in our outpatient department. And I felt like I wanted to do something for my team. My team felt like they meant so much to me. They had been working so hard. I felt like they really deserved something, but I'm on a vet tech salary. Let's be real. Yeah. I can't afford any glamorous gifts. So instead, I wrote a song for them called Happy Tech Week. And then things sort of took off from there. It got way more attention than I ever expected. I mean, this song was literally written for my specific department.
Your staff of like 10.
In this one hospital, exactly. So then I wrote a follow-up song just to be like, thank you to everyone that I don't even know who's being so supportive. And then that follow-up song was Your Dog Ate Weed. And then that sort of went a little crazy.
From there.
Yes. Exactly. And then you know, it was wonderful because I had discovered almost on accident this way to combine career that I love with the arts and the music that I love. And I just kept doing it then. And ultimately, the attention that those songs got is what got me linked up with Dr. Andy Rourke and becoming a part of his team, and then ultimately taking over social media because there's that creative element there as well. Yeah. And it's sort of just spiraled in this really beautiful way that sometimes I sit and I'm like, is this my life? What show is this?
Because how did we get
here? It can't be mine. Yeah. Exactly. Because I'm just so crazy grateful. I never could have pictured this being my path. I think it's one of those things where things just had to sort of happen and fall into place. And I mean, it takes a lot of hard work too, of course, in the process, but I definitely could not have planned for this, but I also couldn't be more happy in where I've ended up for sure.
That's awesome. You know, with Dave and I doing this podcast, one question I would have is we've received a ton of positive feedback, as well as I know you do too. And you have a lot more content out there than we've gotten to get to yet. But has all of your feedback been pretty positive and supportive, or have you experienced any kind of negativity? Because I know sometimes people in this field, unfortunately, aren't the most supportive, and maybe it's competitive. I don't know, but I'm curious if you've had any of that side of things too, because we really haven't yet, and I'm sure it's coming, and I'm just curious about that.
It will at some point.
Brace yourselves. Yeah. Definitely. It's like someone had said to me once, and it's so true. Like, the more you put out there, like the more you'll start to hear the negative stuff.
Sure.
I've definitely gotten the negative stuff. I've been fortunate in that for the most part, actually, the veterinary medicine community has been extremely supportive. Most of my negative stuff has come from non-vet med people.
Okay.
Which has been, I think that has helped me significantly, because when it's coming from your own people, it's that much more hurtful.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
When it's coming from outside, I'm like, you don't even get what I'm singing about. I don't care. Like, for example, the Your Dog Ate Weed. I got so many hate comments on my YouTube channel. Because people are like, weed is great for dogs, and you don't know what you're talking about. And my dog smokes with me every day, and it's ridiculous. But for the most part, I'm able to like brush them off because it's just the comments are so ridiculous.
Yeah,
I will say in general, being on social media, I have though experienced, not necessarily in regards to my songs, but in regards to other things, experience even the vet med community contributing some negative things. And I always have to like bring my mind back to, okay, if one person enjoys this, if one person right. gives me positive feedback, if I'm not hurting anyone in the process, then this is still a good thing and their negative comments don't matter. So
well, if you're happy doing it, then yeah. it shouldn't matter what the negative stuff yeah. is. I say yeah. that, but as soon yeah. as we get a negative comment, I'm going to be like, Jeff, let's stop.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. right, it's hard. I think most of the negative comments I'm able to brush off. Every once in a while when I get a negative comment, like, her voice is so painful to listen to, I'm like, ooh, that one stings a little bit, but I don't care.
But I don't care. I don't know yeah. you and I don't care.
Exactly.
maybe you should sing like a, you know how like some of the rappers do like the diss tracks. You should do a diss track for all your haters.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Well, so on my public Facebook page, I made the like kind of cover photo, a compilation of some of my favorite hate comments.
Oh, really?
And that helped me, you know, deal with them.
Yeah. That kind of takes the power back a little bit.
Yes, it really exactly. does. Exactly. There's a veterinarian I work with at Adobe, Dr. Brennan McKenzie, and he runs SkeptVet. And we like to commiserate together on the hate comments that we experience. That helps as well, having someone who sure. gets it and that you can just laugh it off with. It makes it more entertaining than hurtful.
Well, and you have enough people that are giving you positive feedback that
yeah.
one or two
yeah.
negative comments shouldn't
yeah
exactly. derail you that much. It right? is hard. We all are such perfectionists that your brain automatically wants to focus on yeah. the one negative comment you got yeah. out of the 100 positive ones.
Right.
But it just takes some like retraining my brain to because at first it was hard. I'll be honest. Like one of the first articles I wrote that we posted on the Dr. Andrew Works site, it got some hate comments, some hardcore hate comments.
What was it
but
about?
It was five types of techs you might meet in the clinic. And the goal that I had in writing that was, here's types of techs you might run into. And in my path in veterinary medicine that I may have run into here and there. And here's some good ways to deal with them. And the response was, how dare you paint our profession in this light and make us look like such horrible people? And I think the message was missed that, no, this does not summarize every single technician right. in veterinary medicine.
Right.
But that's what happens when you put stuff out on the internet mm-hmm. is you run that risk that your message might not be received in the way you want it. Additionally, the more information is in one post or one song or one whatever it is, the less people are going to hear because they tend to like grab onto one statement and then yeah. run with it.
Right. Right.
So yeah, that was like one of my first negative experiences online that I had to like, and I didn't cope with it very well. I had to learn to like just be able to like laugh things off and like move on and then learn a little bit of something about how I send my message so it doesn't happen again. But
sure.
otherwise, I definitely live by laughter is the best medicine.
Oh yeah, always.
That's something that Jeff and I haven't really, well, I haven't thought of it. Maybe Jeff has thought of it. I haven't even fathomed the idea that maybe somebody's going to have something really bad to say about us.
I mean, I've considered that like at some point it's going to come, like, you know, we're going to have somebody on that says something controversial or yeah. we say something controversial and it just, that's just like, you know, but I don't think we have that big of a footprint yet. So far, everybody's been really, really supportive, but
maybe
I'm sure
when
it's
that happens, we're going to have to hire ourselves a social media manager.
Yes.
Kelsey, do you have any openings?
That's how you know you've made it is when you start getting the hate comments, right? That's how you know.
So good news, Dave. We haven't made it yet.
You haven't made it yet. Once you get that angry comment, and then just make sure to screenshot it like I do and like hold on to it.
Yeah.
For
yeah. Maybe, no. Yeah, then we can run a poll. What was the best hate comment of 2020?
Exactly. You know, it's what the past few times that I've posted new songs, it's how I've promoted those new songs, is I've posted whatever hate comment I get and said, hey guys, doesn't this make you want to listen to it now?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
And it works out great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Do you have any new material coming out that you'd like to tease our listeners with?
I do. I don't know when it's going to be posted. Mm. I'm not sure if it'll be posted before or after this post, but I have a parody song coming out with Trustin Moore, who's Dr. Moore's student vet on Instagram and Facebook. I will give you a hint. Okay. This is the I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, you guys, but
wait, you're not allowed to say it?
It who's, might
who's in charge
be,
here?
I know.
Isn't this your song?
True. It might involve Disney music. That's all I'm saying.
Oh boy. Okay. All right.
So this should be uploading, I'm looking now, it should be uploading on
2 weeks from Sunday.
2 weeks from Sunday. So the 20th, okay. It should be uploading on the 23rd.
Yeah.
So it might be out by then. But okay. Then even then, if you haven't seen it yet, you'll want to go look at
That's
it.
Right.
But I'm very excited because Trustin is someone who also does a lot of music and funny stuff online. And he happened to be doing a rotation out here in the Bay Area. And so we were able to collab on something. It was my first time ever recording a song with someone. It was crazy. Like, in all these years, I've never even recorded a song with someone. I'm actually quite a noob, but it was very fun.
And right now it's the videos that you do, it's your little sister that does all the recording, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. We use literally an iPhone. My sister, who has no training whatsoever, records my videos, but she's very good at, like, I'm actually quite an introvert naturally, and
all
like
three of us
very
are.
Yeah, perfect.
And here we are all discussing it on a podcast.
Exactly. but I get really shy. So like doing stuff like recording a music video, especially in public, is like makes me sweat just thinking about it. And so my sister is the opposite. She's such an extrovert. She's super confident. So she's like exactly the hype man that I need. Nice. So yeah, Jenna is the best videographer I could possibly ask for. And she definitely hyped Trustin and I up. And she like, she also has always lived in Redwood City, which is our hometown. So she knows some awesome places to look for filming too. Mm. So I mean, I'm convincing her she needs to probably start her own business at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And in this day and age, like, I mean, that's literally how some people start.
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
An iPhone and an eye for that kind of thing. And next thing you know, like, you're a YouTube star and then you're actually making money and earning a living doing it.
Exactly.
Crazy.
It
It'd
is.
Be great
it's
to make money doing something
crazy.
Like this, right?
Yeah.
Someday.
No,
someday.
But it's true. I think some people, I even got caught up for a while because I'll, you know, I watch a bunch of different YouTube channels and stuff, and you get caught up in like, no, I need that awesome camera and I need that awesome lighting and that awesome equipment. But when it came down to it, I was like, okay, what am I going to actually use? Like, if it's this big fancy camera, I'm going to have to learn it. I'm going to be reluctant to use it. It's going to be too complicated. My iPhone, I know how to use it. Like, I will be more likely to actually create things. It's similar with this microphone that I'm using. I set it up on a stand that's attached to my desk because then it makes it that much more accessible. All I have to do is plug it in. Yeah. So for me, it was like the easier I can make it on myself, the more likely I am to create something. So well, iPhone all the way.
Jeff and I talked about stuff like this of like, how much do we want to edit? Do we want to take out every little and ah? And if you do that, it sounds overproduced and it sounds kind of fake. And I think when you shoot it with an iPhone, it gives it a more real sense that you're like a real person. You're not just some like recording artist. You're an actual technician and a real person. It makes it
you're actually doing it on a vet tech budget.
Literally. Sometimes I'm like, God, like, I don't know if y'all follow that Z-Dog MD, that doctor. He's a human. He's in human medicine, but he does some amazing parodies. But his videos are so extravagant. They've got these incredible, like, locations that they shoot on. They're all, like, in the hospital. They've got all these props. It's amazing. And I'm like, this is my sister and I in our backyard with an iPhone. Like, sorry, that's what level we're operating on right now.
But I mean, it's working, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. Why not?
Absolutely nothing wrong with what you're doing. It's fantastic, yeah. And yeah. Everyone loves it. So thanks. Don't change a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jenna will be happy to hear that. I'll pass that along to her.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about at the outset, I mentioned Uncharted Veterinary Conference, and you're going to be speaking at that next year, and we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But Uncharted Vet Conference is a little bit different from what I've read about it online. So kind of describe that, and like for veterinary technicians, you know, what veterinary technicians would get out of it. Like, kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's indescribable. I don't have a good definition for it.
Okay. No, that's awesome.
It's its own unique thing for sure. So essentially, it is both a conference and a community. So we're at the point where we're doing two conferences per year. Actually, we're up to three conferences per year.
Oh, wow.
Two large ones, one smaller one. And then we've also got this year-round online community. We've also got an online school. It's like this huge web of incredible information and resources. Okay. So ultimately, you know, you go to a conference once or twice a year and you come back really rejuvenated, right? Regardless of what conference it is.
Yeah.
But that quickly, when you jump back into real life, wears off. It just happened to me with VMX. Like, I was like, oh my God, this was the inspiration that I needed. Like, I needed this. But then as you get back into your normal life, like, that starts to dull and you get back into whatever you left in the clinic to go to that conference in the first place. So that's one thing I really like about Uncharted is we have a year-round online community. We've got our own little platform where we all can discuss, and literally people are posting multiple times every single day, like, hey, I've got this situation going on in the clinic. Has anyone ever dealt with this? Or, hey, does anyone have resources for setting up insurance as an employee benefit? Or, you know, all types of, or even just, hey, I'm having a rough day today. Can anyone pick up the phone and talk to me? Like, there's such a wide range of discussions. There's within that platform, we've got we've got groups on wellness and practice management and even exercise and social media and marketing. And there's like all these subgroups. It's quite vast and quite incredible. And then on top of that, even if you don't go to the conference, as part of the online community, you get access to the online school, which is where we have filmed all of our conference sessions, or the vast majority of them. So you can go back and watch those. And like, I actually at the last conference in Kansas City, at the end of last year, I became extremely sick and I missed basically the entire conference. So I've been enjoying, we've been doing live watch parties where we all log on and watch an old session together. So I've been enjoying those because I'm finally getting to watch those sessions that I missed while I was in the hospital.
Sounds amazing.
So that is the benefit. But it's just, it's a safe space, you know, like we don't get a lot of that in veterinary medicine. And we have a pretty understood policy there that this safe space is for positivity, and not fake positivity, but like, if you are having a problem, go ahead and rant about it, but then we're going to solve it and we're going to talk about it and we're going to find a solution to that problem. We're not here to just complain. We're not here to just bash on people. We're here to actually find some solutions and
so it's
be
like
productive.
The anti-Facebook.
Yeah, literally, exactly. Because even in, I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. It's really hard to go online sometimes. It's really hard. It's also hard to even just come home from the clinic after a long day and like find someone to talk to. Like, you can't always talk to like your significant other or your child or your sibling or whoever it is. They just don't get it unless they're in your shoes too.
Right.
And so this is like that place you can go and you can talk about it and you can get feedback and people can help you and you can be really vulnerable. I mean, the stuff that people are willing to talk about is pretty impressive. And I think people are making a lot of positive changes because of it. I mean, I always attribute, like, you'd think it wouldn't be related, but I attribute Uncharted to me conquering my fear of flying, which has opened my world up incredibly. I was so motivated to get to that conference. I think that was probably the only thing that could possibly motivate me enough to finally fly by myself, which just happened I think it was last year for the first time.
Wow.
Wow.
And yeah. How do people get involved?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
Yeah. So you basically, you sign up for an online membership. It's unchartedvet.com.
Okay.
And then from there, it's sort of like, you know, you sign up for this base, like general, like I'm a member now. And then you can also add on to go to any of the conferences. Some people go to one, some people go to all of them, some people go to none of them and just do the online community, any number of things. And for technicians, it's interesting. I would say, you know, a lot of our content is focused on things like practice management and communication and marketing and things that might not immediately be applicable to any standard technician in practice. However, when I went to that first Uncharted conference, I was like, I don't know what this is. I wasn't working for the team yet. I was like, I don't know what it is. Dr. Andy Rourke is involved. I'm all in. It was probably one of the most spur of the moment decisions I've ever made in my life as an overanalyzer. And yet I showed up. I felt so uncomfortable. I sat at, like, I remember the first night we like sat around and talked about, you know, why are you here? What do you want to get out of this? And I was like, okay, so I'm here because I write songs about veterinary medicine. But ultimately I got out of it some amazing things. There was a workshop on creating video. There was a workshop on social media graphics. Like the workshop I'm going to be doing in April is on finding your creative process. Like these are all things that we can apply not only in daily life, but in our vet tech world as well. But I would say it's especially helpful to those veterinary technicians who are looking to go into more leadership roles, like lead technicians, the veterinary technicians who are out there doing the social media for their clinics, or even just trying to like implement major change. I mean, that's a big topic in Uncharted is how do we change in a positive direction and get people on board? So in that way, I find lots of ways that I can implement that information to my own life as a veterinary technician for sure.
Awesome. And you said there's two or now three conferences a year. Are they always in the same place or do they kind of move around?
No. So our main conference is in April each year, and that one is in Greenville, South Carolina. That's sort of our home base.
Okay.
It's an amazing city. I had never been there until Uncharted, and now I'm tempted to move there. It's beautiful. And then we've now got a conference. We're going to be doing another one in Kansas City. We've also got a practice owners conference happening in Des Moines. So yeah, every year we seem to branch out further and further. So I have no idea what 2021 has in store. But so
Dave, you're close by. It sounds like you got to get down to Greenville in April. Greenville's
not too bad, right?
Yeah.
I may have to sign up for that.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's a unique experience. It's very hard to describe, but I think it all kind of came to a head for me when in Kansas City, I got really sick. I ended up in the hospital and the kind of support that I had, I didn't realize that people cared about me as much as they did. And the kind of support and coming together that I experienced through the Uncharted group and all the people who were at that conference was incredible. I mean, it was the most humbling and beautiful experience I've ever had. Like, it's weird to feel grateful for being in the hospital, but it showed me just how much this Uncharted community is a family, for lack of a better word. I mean, I had people from that conference come and sit with me in the hospital holding my hand until my mom could get there from California.
Wow.
It was incredible and an experience that like I can't even describe it, and I wouldn't expect to have anywhere else. So that's just my cheesy way of saying it's beyond what I could ever describe, for sure.
It sounds great. You've done a great job of explaining it and making it sound like something that we should all be doing.
Oh, thanks.
I'm gonna check this out after we do.
Yeah, for sure.
Sign up myself.
sure.
Yeah, well, it's I do wish that I could that there were more veterinary technicians there. I mean, there are some, but I would say, you know, the majority right now is a lot of practice managers, practice owners, veterinarians. And so I want more vet techs there because we're a big part of change too. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, we should be leading the change in most clinics because it starts with us. And so I'm always excited every time a new veterinary technician signs up because I feel like we've just got this unique experience that we can sort of commiserate in, but also use to implement some real big change in a way that higher ups can't do.
Right. Right. So, so we talked a little bit about too, you being the social media manager for Dr. Andy Rourke. So what does that look like? And then the other kind of like follow-up question to this is you've mentioned a couple, and I'll have to go back and listen to exactly what those were, but what sites or what pages do you like to follow for not just good medical content, if you will, but like entertaining or funny stuff that, you know, that our listeners might also like to follow too?
Oh, yeah. So the Dr. Andy Rourke social media, it's, you know, Facebook, Instagram. We also do a lot of, one of my favorite things that I love being involved with through Andy is the video creation. That has been amazing. I love video. So it's a lot of content creation. It's a lot of product creation. We've got some exciting things coming out for 2020 that I can't talk about, but I'm very excited for.
That's awesome.
And you will be too as soon as you see them. It's a lot of movement stuff. So like being a big part of the Four Eyes Save Lives movement, which was about suicide prevention in clinics. That was incredible. So it's a little bit learning as I go because I'm not formally trained in any of this. But the team is so awesome. Our team at Dr. Andy Rourke is so supportive and they help me out. I help them out. Andy gives me some fantastic feedback and guidance. And so we make it work. And I feel like we're doing good stuff. And each year, I was going to say, but honestly, each week, I feel like I'm learning something new. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Again, I never would have pictured myself being a social media manager by any means, but it has been great. And also, I think, you know, you mentioned in the intro here that Dr. Andy Rourke is a huge supporter of veterinary technicians. And I think that that's why managing his social media is so easy. It's so natural. If it were anyone else, it might be more like work. But because it's Andy, I feel like I understand his sense of humor. He understands mine. I understand his message and I believe in it. And it makes it so much easier to create content or to post things because I truly just believe in it because he believes in us, you know? Mm-hmm. So it makes life a little easier. And then I think you were asking about, things that I follow online. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, obviously, follow the Dr. Andy Rourke page.
Well, sure. Because we want to link a couple of these like to the notes or what have you, or recommend, you know, to our listeners or our followers.
Of course.
So
one of the ones that I especially love, so I kind of went on a few months ago or so, I went on like a spring cleaning of my Facebook in which I filtered out a bunch of veterinary groups and pages I was following. They're amazing pages, but I was finding that I didn't have the mental and emotional capacity to take in that stuff on top of what I was going through in my daily life.
Sure.
So it was really hard for me to work a full day at the clinic, come home, try to mindlessly scroll through Facebook and then be coming across this like really depressing, difficult stuff. Yeah. So I went through and I, you can actually just pause or mute your you know, memberships and things. So I did that to a bunch of things and I just kept the ones that I felt like gave me positive stuff. So one of the ones I especially love is veterinary positivity.
I've heard of that one.
Positivity.
Like pause, like feet pause. Okay. Yeah.
You can never go wrong with a good pun.
No, absolutely not.
But tell me that. It truly is just things to make you smile, things to make you laugh. And they're very good at staying positive. And again, I don't believe in being positive in like that fake, like, let's put a smile on kind of way.
Right,
but truly like taking difficult situations and finding good things in them. Like that's so important.
Yeah.
And then I would say another one that I really love is VetMed After Hours. They're Tracy and Alec, they're their message is really important, but also I know them as people through Uncharted, and they're just such supportive people. Like, they're just wonderful people, and the stuff they put out there is so genuine. They truly want to help people, and it just makes me smile whenever I see their posts, because I know they're just putting good stuff out there in the world, and we need more of that in veterinary medicine.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, yeah, Trustin Moore, Dr. Moore, student vet. I love following him. He's got some funny parodies. I was telling him, I need to do more parodies. I don't really do that very often, but he's got some great ones out there for sure. So those are a few off the top of my head. There's so many great ones. I love that I'm seeing more and more, like, you guys with the Vet Tech Cafe is awesome. Like, I'm seeing more and more people out there creating things in the public space online, and it's awesome. Like, we need more of that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really exciting to find these, like, new and exciting people and groups to follow online. I'm sure you guys, what are some of your favorites?
One that I think I really enjoy watching, and I'm not even sure I know her name. I don't know if I've seen it in any of her posts, but the Instagram handle is Vet Tech and Travel.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yes, and she does that one too.
Yeah, she does a lot of work in, seems like maybe she's in Southeast Asia or something right now, but she does a lot of posts about, you know, spay and neuter and just, you know, working in, like, developing countries, and it's just fascinating, because I think a lot of people in our field don't realize that kind of opportunity exists to go and do that. So that one I like. And then Nicola Forrest's page, which is veterinary technicians. She posts a lot of really cool videos and, you know, a lot of really cool surgery stuff and anesthesia stuff, and just a lot of tips and tricks and stuff that's, you know, just really, really cool stuff like that. So I don't have a lot of any that are like, you know, just funny content or those. That's actually what I'm trying to find.
All the ones I follow are mostly like clinical, like the vet anesthesia nerds, the ER vet tech rounds.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Those ones are awesome too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I found I needed to take like a little bit of a step back from the clinical stuff and fill my news feed with some more non-clinical
fun
things
stuff,
at least temporarily. Like I always say, like, at some point I'm gonna find myself in a headspace where I'm like, I want to get back into that. But at least in the temporary, I had to pause some of those things. But yeah, those two that you just mentioned are awesome ones.
And that's why, honestly, I enjoy following your page, because, like I said at the outset, the fecal files, the yellow pages, the things overheard at an animal hospital, some of the things you know, that I've thought about sending to you, and some, like, I've thought to myself, I can't even actually send that cannot enter the internet. I think, you know, we all kind of need a break, but also, like, so many of us experience those kinds of things too. And you can focus on the negative that we all experience, or we can focus on the fun that we all experience and have a laugh or two at the end of a really terrible day.
Absolutely. Oh, that's 100% it. It's just, you just need to laugh sometimes, and you have to find a way to laugh, even though our jobs are so incredibly difficult and draining and emotionally dense. Like, you just have to. I used to call it the emotional bends. Like, you know, when you're like coming out of the deep sea, you have to like go slowly and stuff. Like, when I come home from a shift, like, I have to go through the emotional bends and like just like slowly transition back into like being a human person and enjoying life and watching some funny clips on YouTube and things like that. Like, you have to find a way to get back into a good headspace, because you can't just carry that around all the time. And also, I think some people are better than I am at compartmentalizing and at being able to like I do envy those people who can look through Facebook and look at those cases and be okay. I've just found recently, it seems like the older I get, the more I have like struggle with being emotionally involved all the time. Like, sometimes I need to just turn it off, and I need to just laugh at the fact that someone submitted a fecal sample in a Victoria's Secret bag. You know what I mean?
Or a Keurig cup container, which I think was the newest one.
I always remember the clients when I was working in general practice, they would bring the entire large size coffee can full of stool, thinking that somewhere in there was going to be a parasite that I needed to identify. And I'm like, I'm not going to go through every single one of these.
Oh my God. Who was it? Where was I seeing? Maybe it was a comment on that Keurig one. I can't remember now. Someone was posting online the other day about how the doctor asks the client to bring in a stool sample at the 3-week recheck appointment.
Right. Okay.
And so the client collected the stool for the entire 3 weeks.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness.
And brought it in a big shopping bag. I just feel really bad that she had to do that.
Yeah, and like, where was she keeping it during those
years?
And oh my gosh.
No, people get really, really creative. And yeah, my y'all should be able to look through my inbox, like my email, my Facebook inbox, my Instagram inbox are just full of pictures of poop. It's like, oh. What have I done with my life to find myself here?
Oh my gosh. You know, speaking of this kind of thing, I'm just going to share a really quick story from this past week. Speaking of fecal and parasites and stuff, we had a cat in hospital, and he was indoor outdoor, and he had been away for a while, and he came back and he was just kind of sick and needed some fluffing up. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting an NG tube, and one of my coworkers, while aspirating the NG tube at one of the treatment hours, aspirated through the NG tube a worm.
Oh man.
Yep.
No.
Yep. First time I've ever seen it. And I didn't get a picture of it, which befuddles me, but I really hope one of my coworkers did, because it was like, we kept it in a specimen cup to show everybody, because like, she actually aspirated a worm through
that
the NG tube. So
gnarly.
Caitlin, if you're listening, that was awesome.
Oh my God.
Crazy. I've never seen anything like that.
This is a new method of deworming.
Yes, pretty much.
Pull them out one by one.
Yep, pretty much.
One by one through a red rubber.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Some of the story, man, maybe y'all need to just have like a story time on Vet Tech Cafe of all I mean, some of the crazy things we've seen, man, are just crazy.
Well, that's basically what we do in the Vet Tech tap room.
Yeah, perfect.
There
perfect.
We just drink beer and tell stories.
Perfect.
Here we're more professional. We drink coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
We keep it clean here at Vet Tech Cafe.
So, Kelsey, I know you touched on all the great things that are out there now for Vet Techs. Speaking of podcasts for Vet Techs, you were just on Jordan and Yvonne's Internal Medicine for Veterinary Technicians podcast, and loved that episode. It was great. And I know they talked a lot about the open concepts practice. So can you just briefly talk about that for some of our listeners who may have not heard that podcast?
Yes.
And I know that's something that you give lectures on, right?
Well, I'm doing, my first big one at the end of this month at the Music City Veterinary Conference.
So we're giving you a trial run to.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I did not rehearse for this. I didn't even stretch ahead of time. No, so Open Hospital, I'm super passionate about it. I do feel like it is the secret to moving this profession forward, particularly for veterinary technicians. Ultimately, it's a veterinary hospital that mimics a human hospital to some extent. So I always say, sort of picture being at the pediatrician with your child. The mom gets to go with the kid into the exam room, be there for the exam, be there for the vaccines. They get to, if the kid needs an x-ray, they're going to walk down the hall with the kid. They can't stand in the x-ray room, but they get to accompany them there and back. If they need surgery, they're up for all of the, they're there with the kid for all of the pre-op stuff until they actually roll them into the surgical suite. Like it's a lot of how we function in an open hospital. So essentially the client gets to stay with the pet as much as is possible while still being safe and following regulations. And the goal being that it makes the pets more comfortable, it makes the clients trust us more, and it also gives us a platform in which to demonstrate what we're capable of. I have never felt more seen and heard as a veterinary technician than I have in the open hospital policy, where clients actually get to see, this is what a veterinary technician is, this is what they're capable of, this is what they do. Otherwise, it's all behind closed doors and they have no point of reference for it. So I really think that the open hospital is where we get to shine as veterinary technicians in particular, and where clients get a whole new appreciation for what we're doing in veterinary medicine.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's fantastic. And when I think of that, I think of that as something that's terrifying, like having owners watch me draw blood and having owners watch me do treatments on their animal. That
right.
It seems somewhat terrifying. But on the other side of that is that's going to promote our profession as veterinary technicians to have people say, I had this amazing technician that helped out with my dog, and they talked me through everything I did, and making it so much more of a group thing as opposed to just, well, you're going to take my dog and he's going to go quote unquote in the back Which is
a
phrase that I have weeded out of my repertoire when I say I'm taking your patient to the treatment area, not taking them out back, because taking them out back sounds negative.
A little weird.
It sounds a little weird, right?
Yeah, a little sketch.
But having the owners be involved in that, I think, is a fantastic idea. However, it scares me.
Yes, absolutely. No, I 100% understand that because it scared me. I mean, Adobe was already a fully open hospital when I started there. Yeah. So I walked right into it. But I think a lot of it comes down to learning how to exist in that space. So I always say the best way to start, if it's already an open hospital, is to just be the restrainer and watch how other technicians navigate that space. Or if it's not an open hospital, the best way to start is with the skills that you're really comfortable with, like vaccines. Yeah. Like, how nervous are we to give vaccines? Not really. We could basically do it with our eyes closed. So why not start there and see how it feels and see what it's like to get the clients involved and see what it does for your time and see what it does for the client education. And then if you like it, you move on to other things. It's totally scary. It's a big change from what we're used to, right? Like, I mean, I've worked in all types of hospitals that were, that standard, I'm going to bring your pet back to the treatment area and then return them to you. So it was a big change for me as well. But every technician I've talked to at Adobe will say, I was terrified starting out, but I could never go back now. And that's exactly how I feel. Like, it was a weird thing to get used to, for sure. Like, the concept sounds crazy. It sounds like some type of horrific accident waiting to happen. But in reality, it's pretty darn rewarding.
I guess the question for moving forward with that is, how do you take a practice that is not running that way and transform it into that way?
Yeah.
How do you make that? How do you implement that?
I think one of the first things is, and I'm doing a whole talk on just implementing it at this conference at the end of February. But two of those first steps, one is getting people on board. And I think that involves finding your why you want to do this, why you want to be an open hospital. For me, one of my biggest whys is, this is what I would want if I was the client. If this was Birdie and I was bringing her into a hospital, if I was no longer in veterinary medicine, I would want to be with her when she had her blood drawn or when she got her exam or when she got her vaccines. Like, it's what I would want. When my mom brings her dog into the hospital, I want my mom to be able to be there with her dog. Mm. I know my mom's dog will be happier that way. And so that's my why, is this is what I would want for my own self, for my own family. So why not for my clients? And everyone needs to find their why in order, because you have to have the right motivation behind it. And then the second thing is just starting small. Like, you don't just go from standard hospital structure to suddenly we are open the next day, right? Like I said, you start with things like nail trims and vaccines and you see how it goes and you work out the kinks. And then once people are at a point of feeling comfortable, you expand it to other services. But things like vaccines are a great thing to start with. People are doing that in a lot of areas already. When we think about things like vaccine clinics, where people just walk up to, I remember as a kid, we used to take our dog to a vaccine clinic outside of a pet store, and you just walk up, you stand in line, and they vaccinate your dog, and you walk away. You know, it wasn't a big deal. You didn't have to hide that in the back treatment area somewhere. So, like, start there. There's so much to be done. It's also, you know, so many of us are very invested in fear-free right now, which I think is a fantastic message. Mm-hmm. And I think that the open hospital structure, having the clients present, can be a huge contributor when it comes to decreasing the amount of fear and anxiety that pets feel, but also decreasing the amount of anxiety that the clients feel as well. Yeah, I mean, we have to remember that clients are anxious about coming to the vet as well.
Sure.
But yeah, there's good ways to get clients involved in a safe way and make these simple procedures quick and easy, but let the client be there, let them see what we're doing. They trust you that much more when they can see it firsthand. And when people trust you, they're more willing to take your other recommendations for their pets or follow through on your instructions. So, I mean, I could go on for days. Obviously, I'm already rambling, but I think getting people on board and starting with a very small but comfortable skill are sort of your two starting points when you're interested in going that direction.
Interesting. And I guess one question I would have, obviously there are people out there that are, you know, squeamish with needles or blood or different things. So, like, if you had to put a number on it, like, what percentage of your clientele, I mean, and maybe clients come to your hospital seeking that out. So maybe it's a little bit skewed. But do you find that a overwhelming majority of people want to be present, or is it still like 50-50, or you find not many actually want to be present?
I would say it depends on the thing that we're doing. So
Okay, fair.
Typical treatments like blood draws and vaccines and things, I would say 90 to 95% want to be present. I do think you're right in that it's a little bit skewed because our clients are accustomed to this structure.
Sure.
I think if we were brand new being open, people might be a little turned off. Like, I don't know that I want to watch that. Our people are so used to it already. So I'd say 90 to 95%. However, when it comes to things like surgery, I mean, we're talking like maybe 1% want to watch. Oh, okay. Like maybe if that. I mean, it's very small, surprisingly so. I mean, that's one of the biggest questions I always get is, do you really let them watch surgery? And I'm like, rarely, because no one wants to watch that. I don't want to watch that on my own dog. So yeah, it depends on what it is. And they also look to us for recommendations too. So when you've got an open hospital, you're saying like, here, look, you can watch whatever you want. None of this is secret. And that super contributes to building trust.
Yeah.
And so then the clients trust your recommendation that much more. So when I say, you know, I think that your pet might actually do better without you present, they're like, sure, no problem. When I'm like, I mean, people ask me all the time, should I watch? Should I be here? Should I go watch surgery? And I always tell them what my personal recommendation is. No, I don't watch my dog's surgery. I wouldn't watch yours. Like, that's just my personal recommendation. So yeah, a large number want to stay for typical types of treatments. Very few want to stay for those more invasive things like sedated procedures and surgeries.
Yeah.
And they're looking to us for those recommendations, and they're very open to them.
Nice, nice. Well, I also, since Dave kind of asked this when he was asking this question, he said you were going to be talking at the Music City Conference about how to implement this. So I sort of shamelessly want to ask you if you would be willing to speak at the Carvta Symposium next year to talk about this.
I would love to. You know I'm a Carvta fan.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I don't know the date or anything yet, and we'll figure all that out. But I figured since we're here, and that's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would love to have you there and learn about that. So
my goal is just like to make it the concept a little less scary, especially coming from a veterinary technician. I think that open hospital concept is the most scary to us because we're the ones really on the line here, right? And we're the ones with the performance anxiety and having to be watched while we're doing the difficult stuff. Yeah. And so even if a million hospitals don't turn into fully open hospitals, just starting to do little skills here and there in front of clients, I think can make a really big difference for our fulfillment in our jobs, and also for how the outside world sees veterinary medicine and veterinary technicians. So even if it's just enough to make people comfortable to do some nail trims in front of clients, like, I'm happy with that. Like, that's my goal.
Yeah. And a lot of people probably don't really think about it, but I would imagine in a lot of technicians and DVMs too, in their day-to-day, they kind of already do some of this stuff, right? I mean, they demonstrate how to do ear cleanings to owners so they can do it at home, or, you know, like you said, with vaccines, a lot of times, you know, if it's just a routine exam and vaccines, we just do that in the room anyway, or, you know, demonstrate how to give medications, you know, post-operatively for home care or whatever. So on some level, a lot of people probably already do some of this stuff. And then you know, you just take it step by step. You know, you say, this week we're going to incorporate this into that. And, you know, like you said, it's not going to be like, tomorrow we're going to pull back the curtain and we are wide open,
we're gonna have three,
you know, naked and vulnerable. Yeah. Here we go. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. So
exactly. And we also like need to give ourselves some credit too. I mean, when you think about it, definitely. I mean, that was one of my first thoughts too, was what happens if the blood draw doesn't go well? But when you really think about your day-to-day life in the clinic, how many blood draws are not going well? It shouldn't be that many.
Yeah,
you know, we're good at what we do. Like, let's give ourselves some credit. We've got the skills. We're doing them behind closed doors. The only thing we really need to adjust to is that little bit of like, performance anxiety, like being on stage suddenly. But we've got it. We can do it. If anyone can do it, it's us as veterinary technicians.
For sure. And frankly, those clients have probably had blood draws that haven't gone 100%
exactly
to, you know, according to plan. And, you know, they've had their veins missed on occasion,
all the time.
it happens. Like, so be it. And just, you know, you explain it and whatever. So,
yeah, I think in general, most of the time, it's more devastating to us to miss a vein than to the client.
Sure. Well, I think we'll wrap up. I know we've taken a fair bit of your time, so we definitely want to thank you for coming by the Vet Tech Cafe today. We do have one more question to ask you.
Okay, I'm prepared.
So
are you prepared, though?
No, I'm not at all.
I don't think you need to be prepared for this one.
So this question was submitted by one of Dave's students. Her name is Kayla Forbes. Yep. So the question for you, Kelsey, is would you rather have to turn into a hot dog for 1 hour every night for the rest of your life?
Okay.
Or every time you put on shoes, let me back up. Every time you put shoes on, your socks become wet. Which would you rather and why?
Okay. First of all, I love you, Kayla, because I love would you rathers. It's my favorite game. We drove up to the snow recently and I forced my niece and nephew to play this the entire way. I would very much say hot dog. My only concern there being I may be eaten alive by my chihuahua.
But that was a concern, yes.
The thing is that well, there's so many questions, but do I get to choose what time I turn into a hot dog? Because if so, I'll turn into a hot dog at midnight when I'm already asleep and I don't even know I'm a hot dog, you know?
But I'm sure Birdie's there and she would probably eat you while you're sleeping.
I'm going to have to start crating her for sure.
I think we talked about in the class, I think we talked about what happens if it happens in the middle of you brushing your teeth.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden you're brushing a hot dog.
What an image.
Yes. And one of the students had the logic that, I just won't wear socks anymore.
Ugh, but that sounds a hot dog sounds way less horrible than wet socks or just sweaty feet and shoes. Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
I would fully change into a large hot dog.
I would too, because you know, if that happened, what are you going to do? You're going to plan your day around the fact that at some point I'm going to turn into a hot dog and it just becomes part of your routine.
You warn all of your friends and family in advance.
Yeah. Ooh, I can't go to that 9 o'clock movie. That's my hot dog hour. We're going to have to make it a matinee. I got to be home by 9.
Or else you're going to need to be willing to carry me out of the theater. Yeah. that's probably the best would you rather I've ever heard.
That was a fantastic submission. You can see why we saved that one for you.
So honored, honestly. I'm going to start asking that to other people now.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to come chat with us about the Open Concept Hospital and just about content and positivity and all that fun stuff and Uncharted. And we're definitely going to look into that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys. It's always fun to get to talk to fellow veterinary technicians. We don't get to do that enough.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks again, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again sometime down the road.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you. Dave and Jeff would like to thank you for listening to the Vet Tech Cafe podcast today. As we talk about difficult issues facing our profession and chat with colleagues who have strong opinions of those issues, we feel it is important to note that the opinions and views expressed by Dave, Jeff, or our guests on the Vet Tech Cafe podcast are solely theirs and theirs alone and do not represent any other person, business, institution, or any other entity. If you have any questions relating to this, please email us at vettechcafe@gmail.com. Thanks again for stopping by the Vet Tech Cafe.